with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And so let's focus our thoughts tonight on this central Christmas image, the baby Jesus lying in the manger. And so picture that as best you can, a little newborn child wrapped and swaddled and lying in a bed of straw. You know, whenever polls are taken of the favorite Christmas carols, Away in a Manger usually ranks right up near the top, you know, maybe in the top three. It was first published in 1885 in a Lutheran Sunday school publication, and it was wrongly attributed to Luther himself, to Martin Luther, but he didn't write it. We don't know who wrote it. It's anonymous. I love Away in a Manger. We're not singing it tonight. We did sing it a couple Sundays ago. But even though I love it, whenever I sing Away in a Manger, there's one line that bothers me. And it goes like this. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. Now, we have a tradition here in our Christmas Eve service. And the tradition is, we've done this for 20 years, no nursery tonight. Babies are welcome. And that started because about 20 years ago, our nursery workers kind of revolted and said, we're not going to be here on Christmas Eve. We want to be with our children. Of course, I panicked. I thought it was going to be a disaster. But ever since then, we've done that. And so inevitably, crying babies, fussing babies are a characteristic of this service. And so that keeps my message short. Babies cry. So here's a question for you to ponder. Did the baby Jesus cry or not? Okay, Away in a Manger says that he didn't. That when a loud noise woke him up of a cow mooing right next to the manger, that he just kind of, you know, lay there and cooed in perfect contentment. Is the Christmas carol wrong? We love it, but is it wrong? You know, if we set out to answer that question seriously, I mean, if we do take it seriously, did the baby Jesus cry? I think we should distinguish between maybe a sinful cry and a human cry. And we don't have time tonight to talk about the doctrine of original sin, which I believe and which we teach, that Adam's sin is imputed to all who are born of Adam. All children inherit Adam's sinful nature. And even if you've never wrestled with that theology, if you're a parent, you know you don't have to teach your children to sin. Jesus wasn't born with original sin. He was sinless. And so we can kind of cross any kind of sinful crying off the list. But does that mean that he never cried for other reasons? You know, our three children were what mothers call good babies. And that means they slept. They didn't fuss. My sister had three colicky babies. They cried a lot. They cried sometimes incessantly. And so I could frame the question this way. Is it theologically possible that Jesus could have been a colicky baby? Could that fit in our theology, that Mary's kind of walking around the house at 3 in the morning, you know, with dark circles under her eyes, just, you know, begging him to go to sleep? Is that possible? Or do we have to affirm that he was a good baby? And that he started sleeping through the night, you know, when he was 2 weeks old. Here's the answer. The baby Jesus cried. We know he cried as a baby because the Bible tells us he cried as a man. And the go-to place for that is John chapter 11. Jesus went to the home of his best friends. The sisters Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus. He spent lots of happy times in their home. He loved going to their house. But this time in John 11, it was an awful visit because Lazarus had died. And Jesus didn't cry, or at least we're not told that he cried, when he heard that Lazarus had died. But when he saw Mary weeping, when he saw his dear friend Mary weeping, that's when his emotional dam broke. And John says that Jesus groaned in spirit and was troubled. This is Jesus. He's overwhelmed with emotion. And then John says Jesus wept. It's the shortest verse in the Bible, right? John 11:35. Jesus wept. He shed tears of grief at the sight of loss and pain and death. He cried. You know, one of the most common attributes applied to Jesus in the Gospels is compassion. All of the Gospel writers speak of His compassion. And over again, they talked about how He was moved to compassion. And it almost always followed this same pattern. It starts out by saying that He saw this person, or He looked at this person. Jesus was someone who looked at people. He focused on them. He saw them. He didn't just kind of glance over them like I sometimes do. He saw the blind man kind of stumbling around on the edges of the crowd. He saw the leper facing ostracism from society. One time he saw a widow who was burying her only child and saw her in the funeral procession. He saw these crowds of jostling, dirty, hungry people. And he had compassion on them as individuals. He saw people who were confused and searching spiritually. Compassion. And then sometimes John says and describes that compassion even moved farther. And Jesus had these episodes of groaning in His spirit. Deep, painful emotions. 700 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah said that He would come and He would be a man of sorrows. Now, why am I saying this? Why am I saying this on Christmas Eve? Right? I mean, this is the time to be happy. This is the time to celebrate. We want to feel good on Christmas Eve. So why is the minister talking about Jesus crying? Why is this important? It's important because many of our brothers and sisters and many of you sitting here tonight are grieving. One family in our church in particular is grieving in a way that's unimaginably difficult. And our hearts go out to them tonight. And there are others in our church body who over this month have lost a home and other loved ones. There have been difficult medical diagnoses, our hearts go out to them. Who is our Savior? Who is this baby lying in the manger? Well, the Bible says He's God of gods, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, you know, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things are made. He's God, and the Bible says He's the Word made flesh. That means He has a human body, a human mind, a human will, with fully human affections and emotions. And His emotions are moved to convulsive groaning at the sight of need and pain and death. Listen, the Bible says we do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. But we have a high priest who is tempted in all ways as we are, yet without sin. He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. Listen, that's the kind of Savior I want to believe in. No, that's the Savior I do believe in. One who's just like me in every way, except for sin. Perfect in every way. Human in every way. But without sin. Because to redeem me, He must not only be God, He must also be a man. Two natures in one person forever. Listen, though, even though I love a way in a manger, you know, it's always going to be kind of rank right up there on the top of the Christmas Carol favorites. Even though I love it, I actually prefer the message in Cecil Frances Alexander's Christmas Carol. It's not as well known. Once in Royal David City. And listen to the way she describes the baby Jesus in the manger. It's different. He was little, weak and helpless. Tears and smiles like us He knew. And He feeleth for our sadness. And He shareth in our gladness. tears and smiles like us, he knew. That's Jesus. Another Christmas carol asked the question, who is he in yonder stall? You know that one? Who is he in yonder stall at whose feet the shepherds fall? And the answer is, 'tis the Lord. A wondrous story. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. And yes, that's true. He is the King of glory. But he's also flesh and blood, human body and mind, human affections and emotions, someone who can draw near to you in your sorrow, in your hurt, in your loneliness, in your moments of despair, and he can share it with you because he's been there. He's the Savior who you need. And if you don't know him tonight, tonight is the night to ask him into your heart. He'll come to you. He'll meet with you where you are in your times of sorrow. And so let's pray and thank God for this great Savior, the one who shares in our sadness and our gladness. Let's pray together.